So we're Roy and Margaret Fitzwater and are part of the Navigators. We live outside of Colorado Springs and have been coming to Midnight Madness. This is actually our fourth year in a row, so we're are happy to be here with you guys tonight. And we're just spending some time talking a little bit about great questions and great relationships. This is the rest of our family, so on my far right is our younger son, Stephen. And then Margaret and I, our oldest son, Chris, and Margaret's mom, Mimi, who lives with us. And all three of them are single, so if you know anybody that's... I promised I would do the commercial.
There's an age range there, if you haven't noticed.
an 80 or 90-year-old eligible man. Mimi might want to meet him. So our 29-year-old son, Chris, is an assistant scoutmaster. He was an Eagle Scout, or is an Eagle Scout, and... He's been an assistant scoutmaster at each of the places he lived in Guam and then in L.A. and also in Dallas now that he's relocated there. And while he was a part of his troop in L.A., the parents and the other adult volunteers were really surprised at what he was able to get the boys in the troop to accomplish and to understand and to learn. And so a number of people kind of started asking, hey, Chris, what's the secret sauce? How are you doing this? And so he figured out that a big part of his effectiveness with these younger scouts was that he didn't tell them what to do. He asked them questions. And so I think it really came to him on a particular campout where he saw this scout with a Teflon skillet cooking scrambled eggs and scraping away at that skillet as he was cooking with a metal spatula. And he knew that that boy had been told probably 5 or 6, maybe 8 times before, hey, don't use a metal spatula on a Teflon pan when you're scrambling eggs. But there he was, scraping away, just like always. And so Chris walked up to him and he said, so what do you think happens with those particles of Teflon that you're scraping off into the eggs when you eat them and they go into your body? And from that day forth, that scout has never used a metal spatula. And that's just a little example of the power of questions. And so he was asked to kind of share this idea. He actually developed a PowerPoint and a whole teaching called the Socratic Method of Scouting. So here's Socrates here with his little boy scout hat on. And it's really interesting to think, as we think about Socrates and the Socratic Method, the whole idea of asking questions, Socrates was a great philosopher. He was known for his wonderful questions. His focus was on youth, and he actually worked with them as a volunteer. He was never paid to be this, to be Socrates and to ask these great questions. Tonight, we're going to talk a lot about questions. We're going to focus a little bit on millennials. Many of you are millennials. A lot of you work with millennials. And we're not going to do any of these gross characterizations of them, but we are going to share a few facts about them. And then anything that we share tonight, we think really does have great crossover to other audiences as well. So just to kind of define millennials a little bit, there are 77 million millennials in the United States. They're 18 to 34 years old currently. They make up almost a quarter of our population. They control over $300 billion in their pockets and purses. 41% of them are from a multicultural background, and almost a quarter of them have a bachelor's degree. So there's some pretty significant things among these people. They want to be related to through engagement. They don't like to be told things in general. And authenticity is a very high value, so don't try to deceive millennials or you'll not get far at all. And then last of all, they really want to be met where they are. So getting to know them is really accomplished when we ask some questions. So when we think about it, this is really the way that Jesus trained the disciples. If you step back and you look at the word and you kind of look at it from 30,000 feet, you'll realize that it's peppered with questions. Think about how many questions Jesus asked, from who do people say I am to, it's all over the map in the scriptures. So really, anytime he had an important lesson to teach, he almost always began with a question. So as a group, out loud, don't have to raise hands or anything like that, just shout out, popcorn some answers about why you think Jesus might have used that approach to teaching. Why did he ask questions?
Well, it helps lead people. They leads them to the answer, okay, instead of being told the answer.
All right, so it led them to the answer, and that, what would that help with?
You have to think.
Okay, you have to think. That's scary.
You have to reflect.
Yep, causes reflection. Uh-huh. If you come up with the answer yourself, do you think you might own it a little bit more than if you're told that? Other thoughts. Why else might Jesus have used that approach?
help reveal what's in your heart.
Okay, reveals what's in your heart. Very good. Any other thoughts?
Conviction versus condemnation.
Conviction versus condemnation. Very good. All right.
So, you know, there's a book that was written a while ago that was called The 307 Questions That Jesus Asked and the Three That He Answered. So, and if you think about it, that's a pretty daunting ratio that I think most of us probably don't even begin to approach. But it does illustrate just the need for us to learn to ask more questions. That, you know, I will tell you, we are confessed tellerholics. We need to be in one of those groups. We're really working on learning to ask questions. We do a lot of life coaching. And it is, you know, it is so much more effective in all age stages, and especially with millennials. You know, we've noticed that with, you know, even before our sons were as adults, that when we could ask them questions and get them to come up with the answers, they just moved on. They actually acted on what they needed to do so much more effectively than if we told them. So we want to show you a little video that kind of illustrates what happens to our questioning nature over time.
I'd like you to think back to when you were 5 years old. We asked, on average, 65 questions per day, most of them starting with why. The average 8-year-old asks 41 questions per day, and by the time we are 44 years old, we only ask 6 questions per day, most of them starting with when, where, or how much. The number of questions we ask per day doesn't increase until retirement. Now, why retirement? Because that's when we start asking, where are my keys, and why did I walk into this room? It could be said that we entered school as question marks, and we graduated as periods. Now that's depressing. Dr. Jonas Salk, the medical researcher who developed the first polio vaccine, said, the answer to any problem pre-exists. We need to ask the right question to reveal the right answer. What I take away from Dr. Salk's comment is that we don't find, create, or invent creative solutions. We reveal them by asking great questions. So here's a suggestion. Have you ever played the game 20 Questions? What if you asked your team to come up with 20 questions about your challenge before you tried to solve it? I guarantee you'll come up with some interesting insights into your challenge. I found that asking great questions is also a 3-step process. You start with what and then why questions before you ever ask how questions. Now, my favorite first question to ask about any challenge I'm dealing with is, what is the result we want to see, feel, and hear? Then I like to ask, why do we want to achieve this result? Finally, how are we going to achieve this result? The order to these questions is very important. If you start off asking the how questions before thoroughly defining your challenge with the what and why questions, you just be coming up with solutions in regard to a very ill-defined problem, which of course is not the best flow for problem solving. Well, now it's time to give you some homework to increase your question-asking quotient. So tonight, instead of asking your kids, what did you learn today in school, which gets you the typical nothing response, ask them, what questions did you ask today? Then encourage your kids to ask you, what questions did you ask today at work? Enjoy the new family conversation. If you are a student, challenge your friends by asking, who raised the best question in class today? And of course, share your questions on social media. You started school as a question mark asking why. My hope is that you regain that question mark status by remembering to ask great questions every day. Consider how your life might change if you retired as a question mark instead of as a period. Then you might spend your golden years asking, what great book should I read today and why, rather than where are my keys?
Where are my keys?
So You know, so that is something that you can do with each other. Most of you know a couple of people in here, at least one other person in here. So ask each other, you know, what kind of questions did you ask? You know, if you had to talk about a good conversation you have with somebody, so what kind of questions did you ask? Did you ask questions? You know, what were they? Did you hear any good questions today? Because that's really, and encourage each other too. We do that a lot. It's like, wow, that is a really great question. You know, that's really encouraging, and it makes a person think, wow, that was a good question. I need to kind of store that one away. So our goal tonight is to hopefully encourage you to use questions more, to really to desire to change to a more questioning approach, if that's not the approach, maybe you're already using that, but also to be equipped to ask a little bit better questions and just think about it a lot more. So there are three things. We're going to drill down on kind of three areas of kind of the question asking process. We're going to talk about good questions, start with good listening, the how-tos of good questions, and then going deeper with good questions. So we're going to address all three of those tonight. So the first one, in terms of good questions, start with good listening. James 1:19, I've always loved, but I think it really is true. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and I think it is true that we probably have two ears and one mouth for a reason. You know, it is more difficult to listen, and you know, you may be sitting here, I'm thinking about myself walking into something, and I think, okay, I want to learn how to use good questions. And somebody starts telling me, okay, well, first you got to learn to listen. And you say, oh, that's not, I know how to listen. Well, you know, listening is so critical. And we're going to focus on it because you cannot ask good questions without being a really good listener. And most of us don't naturally become good listeners. We have to work at it. We have to practice at it. There are some people that are naturally good listeners, but not very often. So the first thing in being a good listener is to really develop your curiosity. Really become a curious kind of person. You can pray, ask God to help you to become more curious. There's some strategies. Really, it is about whoever you're talking to or having that conversation with, it's really about placing very high value on them. You know, if you value a person highly, you're going to pay attention. You're going to notice more. Noticing is a big deal in itself. A lot of us probably don't notice nearly as much as what we could. When our kids were growing up, they and even into their adult years, one's still a pilot in the Air Force, the other one was in the Air Force, and they have been trained in all kinds of warfare, but they have learned to be highly aware of things around them. And we'll get in a car with them, and they'll ask questions, you know, about, you know, did you see this, or make a comment, and it's like, I had no clue, I had no idea. It's like, Mom, your essay is so bad. And it's a situational awareness. You know, we just need to be tuned in to all those things going on around us, and especially with people. People are so valuable, and the people that God has placed in our lives to influence are of such high value that we really want to notice things about them. We want to notice their expressions. We want to notice the things that they're wearing, you know, how they're feeling, you know, nonverbal things that about them all the time. But we have to really pay attention to do that. So really do those things. And right now, before we go on, we're just going to stop. And I want you just to pair up with somebody for just like 2 minutes. And I want you just to pair up with one person at your table. Or if there's three, you can kind of do it. But just turn around to that person and just tell them something you noticed about them tonight. And I want the other person, I want the person just in your good exchange roles. But I want you to think, to tell them something you noticed about them, make a comment about it, and then I want the other person to just tell you how that makes them feel, and then switch roles, okay? So it's really quick, won't take long, it's pretty simple, so go for it. I know. Okay. All right. So has everybody had a chance to notice something? So I know it sounds kind of weird, but you know, sometimes you just really have to pray for God to open your eyes. Open my eyes that I may see those things around me. And it really does help. You just have to be aware of it. So anyway, we're going to have a quick conversation, and I want you guys to just kind of watch our conversation for a minute. So Roy, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about what we're
going to
do for the weekend.
Okay, so you know, I was thinking La La Land. So it got like 10 Academy Award nominations. Right. 11 nominations. I think it was 12. It tied the record for 12 most Academy Award nominations ever. How about La La Land?
Did you hear what I said? I really wanted to talk to you about some ideas.
Yeah, like ideas that we want to do for the weekend.
So, sure.
So, okay. That'd be
so
fine.
Okay, thank you for that.
Okay, so I want to
talk about who lost.
So let's talk about listening a little bit. Why don't you just tell us? We're gonna jot on the board. Tell us some things that might maybe you observed or you didn't observe. But what are some things that are important about listening?
Eye contact, and the person with the first answer wins.
Oh,
so it's like you need to return it at the end, and you'll get some kind of gift card.
Awesome. Okay, some other things about what's important to listening. What are important things? Important
repeat
aspects.
Back to them so you understand.
Okay, repeating back.
Open so body language.
Open what?
Open body language.
Like this?
Open body language. By the way, if I'm doing this, it's not because I'm trying to not listen. It's just I'm cold.
Yeah, it's warmed up 20 degrees since the first
time. So focus. Did you hear that? Focus. Okay.
Don't interrupt.
Come on.
We have been married 37 years and we constantly are finishing each other's sentences. It's like, that's not the way to do it.
That wasn't finishing sentences.
Don't interpret. See, these are the cheap markers, they don't come with spell check.
Please don't pay
attention.
Interrupt. And actually, interpret would be a good one.
Try to interpret. How about something else? How about something over here?
Put the technology down.
Put the technology down.
Oh, man.
Give me an umbrella. Any other things you can think of? Principles for good listening?
Well, don't try to listen. This is hard to do. When you listen, don't listen with your ideas going on in your head. Your perception.
Filters.
Your perception. You know, you have to look at, just be open and hear them from their point.
Good. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so so we're going to move on. We'll come back to some of these principles, but I want to move on to active listening. And somebody said something about reflecting back. Most of you know active listening? Have you heard
yes.
of that?
Mm-hmm.
So active listening is something that we really do need to pay attention to. And let me tell you, a lot of these listening things, you may know, but what we want you to do is put down one or two things that you need to practice, because we are so knowledge-based in our society that we know all this stuff, and you come and say, I know it all, you can walk out right now and say, I knew everything they said, and you probably do, but you need to find something that you need to work on to get better, you know, so active listening. So things you have to do to really listen well. When you listen actively, you're actually switching gears from, somebody said this, kind of thinking about what you're going to say, thinking about what you're doing, and it's really switching gears from what do I think about what they're saying? You kind of cut the evaluation out, no judgment. You're just really listening, and you're trying to go from what do I think about things to what can I understand about what they're saying? That's what active listening does. You're really seeking to understand that person. You're putting yourself in their place and really seeking to understand them. So active listening involves forgetting yourself and your concerns and concentrating on hearing what is true from the other person's perspective. This involves creating an environment in which the person feels free to express both facts and feelings without fear of misinterpretation or judgment. You as a listener then reflect back or state both the facts you heard and the feelings of the speaker and their experience. So you said most of these things, just need to practice them. So principles, key principles of listening, you need to have a receptive attitude, and that means avoiding critical, judgmental attitudes. It means focusing on the other person, not me, not on what I want to say, not on the point that I want to try to get across. And if you struggle with that, I would say maybe do a study on humility. That is really helpful. Being humble in approaching conversations in a humble posture is extremely helpful for listening and, in turn, really asking good questions. Because when we listen well, it really, good questions come pretty naturally. You know, if you are really curious, you're noticing things, and you're listening well, those questions will come pretty quickly, and they'll be good questions. You'll be surprised at some of the questions that God will give you. So another principle is to clarify what they say. When people are talking to you, make sure you thoroughly understand it. So ask them to clarify. Ask questions to clarify. You know, tell me more. What did you mean by that? I'm not sure I clearly understand the situation, but get them to clarify and avoid answering the question or avoid giving advice. That is probably one of the biggest things, and especially in mentoring, there's certain technical things in mentoring that are really good that people will ask your advice and they'll say, what do you think? And you need to really, you need to help them along. If you're further along in the journey than they are on a certain area, it's fine to answer their questions. But even when they ask you a question, if there's a question you can ask in return and get them, if it's a question that is not a fact, that maybe an OR a process that you know how to do better or something, if it's not in a professional, there's a lot of mentoring in professional positions. And, there's certain technical things that are just facts. If they want to know, tell them. But if you could turn it around and ask them a question to try to figure it out themselves, much, much more effective. So, and try to always keep from saying, I think you should, or they're going to explain a situation, or they're going to have a struggle, an issue they come to you with. And it's really important not to say, well, I think you should do this, or we ask them, ask them questions like, well, is there anything, have you ever had an issue like this in the past? What can you think of, other people that have had this issue? Are there ways that you can think of? Just start asking questions in return to them so that they can try to begin to process and figure it out on their own. Be fully present. That is a huge principle in asking good questions, is to be all there. It is so easy. We are so busy. We all have so much going on to be planning, to be thinking about the next hour, the next meeting, what's going on that night, what's going on at work the next day. Put all that stuff aside. Ask God to clear your mind and to fully focus, be fully present. We love to use the phrase, linger to listen. Let that time, it's sacred time. It really is. Be fully present.
Next time you go out to eat somewhere, look around you in the restaurant and see how many people are distracted on their phones, stuff. Actually, we're in a Chick-fil-A recently, and they have a deal now. They have this, they call it the chicken coop, and it's a little square thing in the middle of your table, and if the whole family will put their cell phones in there and not use them at all during the entire meal, they'll give you a free ice cream cone. So be fully present.
Yeah. So, and just remember to try to guide the conversation with your questions, listening to God, asking Him, and not to derail it, not to go other places, not to just give Him the answer. That derails. So those are really important things to consider. Stephen Covey says, he has a quote that we really like, says, most people don't listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. And I think we would definitely agree with that. So what we want you to... Yeah, I'll ask about it. So let me ask you this. We've got an exercise we want you to do on listening, because it really is. Most of these principles we get through pretty fast, because we know that you know most of these things. We're going to let you do a little exercise to see where it is that you really need to work on, and ask God to help you with that. Before we do that, we just want to ask, have you guys seen that It's Not About the Nail video? Is everybody okay? Most of you have seen that. So, all right, we're not going to show it then. Because we just some groups we're with, they haven't seen it, and so it kind of depends. It starts kind of going around what you did, but it's a great. If you haven't, just write that down. Look on YouTube. It's not about the nail.
Not about the nail.
Yeah, it's not about the nail. Just watch that. It'll give you a great laugh on listening. So. Anyway, so if you'll pick up that, there's a piece of paper in the middle, and go to the, there's two-sided, it's one sheet, two-sided, there's, yeah, go to the side that says good and bad listening habits exercise, so just go to that and do that right now. It'll take you about 3 minutes, pretty short. Finished with that, identify one or two things that you feel like you could get better at. So once you decide one or two things that you want to get better at, then maybe there's somebody at the table that you know, and I want you to tell them what you want to get better about. And I'm just going to ask you for that person, if you can see them, like if you see them regularly or if they're a friend, in a few days ask, are you doing better at this? Okay, so that'll kind of hold you a little bit of accountable. So tell a neighbor or somebody that you know. If there's nobody at your table that you know or you'll see, then maybe you can write down the person's name and you can tell that. Because if you don't work on it, you won't get better on it.
I'll figure it out later.
Okay, do we have one brave person? I don't have another gift card, sorry.
Oh.
One brave person that would be willing to share something that they're going to change or do differently or work on. Yes.
Well, this is my lovely wife here. And
that's a good start.
And I run a company, and sometimes out of my house, and she's wanting to tell me something. And I'll always answer her before she gets through asking her question to me, so I got to listen a whole lot more.
Yeah, it is tough when you have that gift.
Of course, I said, anything you want to say to me before football season starts?
She's not smiling. That's like the guy who said, in my household, I always have the last words. Yes, dear. All right. Anybody else have anything they want to share that they are going to try to change or begin working on? Yep, back there.
Where it says she continually fidgets with a pencil, paper, some other object, looking at it rather than listening. I am guilty of, and my husband will comment on it, I don't think you're listening to me, and I'm because I'm looking at Facebook or whatever on my iPad, and it's true, you know, but because I think I'm a multitasker, I hear you, I can listen and do two things at once, but honestly, you know, it's not true. So I am going to really start to listen to him more.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be better. I should say better.
Right. Well, it's all progress. Yep.
So let me ask a question. I want you to be honest, okay? So how many of you think that you can listen while multitasking? Nobody?
I mean, we do it.
Right. But are you
really?
I listen better when I'm getting a massage.
All right. Yeah, it really is not possible to really listen and try to do other things at the same time. So let's talk a little bit about the how-tos of good questions. And what we really want to do is start with a developmental mindset. This is a classic approach within coaching. You help people to determine their current reality, their desired future. And in this case, we use questions to get to that. So start with that current reality, put it through the magic question box, and on the other side, by asking questions, we help them to understand their desired future. So let's use an example. Perhaps we're mentoring somebody that just doesn't seem motivated. They just can't get anything done. They aren't getting out of bed on time. They're not, you know, very effective at their jobs, that sort of thing. So what we want to do is ask a series of questions to help get at their current reality. So I'm going to give you a question or two to start, and then I'd love to hear from you as well. So you might ask a question like, what things are going on in your life right now? To help begin that picture of their current reality. What are some other questions that you might ask? Thinking about the principles that Margaret shared with us before about your questions. What else could you ask?
What's something exciting going on in your life right now?
All right, something inside you that's going on.
Exciting.
Oh, exciting. Exciting. Oh, okay, so something to help get them motivated. Good, all right. I wasn't doing a very good job of listening. What else?
What areas are you struggling in?
Okay, very good. So was there an area of struggle? What kind of circumstances are there that are things? What about simple things like how are you doing in terms of rest and sleep? Is that a part of the cause behind, you know, not feeling motivated to get things done? And then as we move into that other side of the coin, what's your desired future state? What would you like it to look like? You know, you might ask a question like, do you want to get well? Do you want to be more motivated? And in those cases, those are yes, no questions, but that, because it's at the core of what we're after, you know, it's okay to ask it that way, but then go on and unpack that with some other questions. So what else might you ask about that to get their desired future, what they'd really like it to look like?
Well, after you get that yes or no answer, you can ask, what might you want to do about it, or what are you doing about it?
All right, great. So what might you want to do, or what are you doing about it right now? Very good.
Also, how can I enable you? Like to be successful.
All right. How can I enable you or help you to be successful at that? Very good.
It is really important to make sure you ask enough questions, though, so that they are clearly, they know in their minds where they want to get to. Because that is a big issue a lot of times. You know, they may not be committed. They may not really want to get better. You know, I think about the healing at the pool that Jesus did. And he went up to the sick man and he said, "Do you want to get well?" You know, if they are having a struggle, motivation or whatever, they may not want to be motivated. You know, if they don't, then that's another issue. But that's clarifying that current reality.
I think tone has a lot to do with it as well, because if your question comes off as sarcastic, they might have a different response.
Yeah, that whole spiritual gift of sarcasm thing works really well.
Now, that is a really good point, because you do. That's where it comes to really caring and valuing them enough to be concerned.
Mm-hmm.
To be
very
really
good
concerned
point.
And to come across that way.
Maybe asking them to, or encouraging them to tell you some of their goals. Where do you want to be 6 months from now, 1 year from now, financially, emotionally, relationship-wise?
Right. So
very
if you can't
good.
Get it right now, that where they want to be right now, take
and
it out
as
a little
they start
further.
Figuring out those answers, then is there something you can do today that will get you on the road to that
right.
goal?
Yeah.
And also ask them, what can I pray for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I pray?
Specific things I can pray with. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just this whole idea of asking, you know, maybe there's a particular time of day that you are more motivated, or when have you been more effective in the past? Begin to create this whole picture of what that desired future might look like. So you can see that you know, it's helpful to have questions to figure out where we are, and then questions to figure out where we want to be, and then the ultimate is to ask them some questions that begin to put that into action. So, you know, in the coaching that we do with pastors and leaders all across the world, you know, basically we talk about if you can't put it on a calendar, it's not going to happen. And so, you know, it's not enough to just say, I want to lose weight. But you have to be able to say, I want to lose, you know, 15 pounds, and I'm going to start on January 28th, right after the cinnamon rolls.
Yep.
And I'm going to, you know, join the gym when I get back home to Woodland Park and all those kinds of things. When is that going to happen? What do those days look like? So use questions to help move people along in those ways. There's a great quote by Tony Stolpas, and he's the author of a book called Coaching Questions. And if you guys want to get better at asking questions, I highly recommend this book. You can get it on Amazon and any number of other places. But he says, questions hold the power to cause us to think, create answers we believe in, and motivate us to act on our ideas. Asking moves us beyond passive acceptance of what others say, or staying stuck in present circumstances, to aggressively applying our creative ability to the problem. Our organization does a monthly coaching call where all of our coaches call in and we have different topics. And this last one, actually it was on Wednesday, was about coaching through life transitions. And so at the beginning of the calls, we typically share victories and challenges as coaches. And so there was a woman who wanted to share a victory where she had her client who came to the coaching call completely unprepared, hadn't turned in her notice, you know, 24 hours in advance with what she wanted to talk about, all those kind of things. And she basically kind of showed up on the call thinking, this is going to be a total waste of time because I did nothing to prepare. I'm not ready for anything else. So the coach kind of pulled out of her coaching hat a series of questions that helped move her along and figure out what she really did want to talk about and focus on during that time of coaching. And by the end of the coaching appointment, the client said, you know, this is like one of the very best coaching sessions I've ever had at all through the power of a series of questions. So we're going to really encourage you to develop those wherever you can. So let's talk a little bit.
I just want to say that is something that is really helpful. If you are mentoring people and that's going to be something you're going to be doing for a while, is to, you know, when you hear a good question, write it down. And keep track of those questions. And, you know, before you have a time of mentoring, go back and review some of those questions, especially if you know what the situation is going to be. You might just kind of go through and find two or three questions that could be very helpful. Think about that could potentially be helpful. So you're not having to just think of, think of those questions. And the Holy Spirit will help you to bring that to mind. But review those occasionally, because it really is helpful to do that.
So some characteristics of good questions. The first thing is that we want to ask, in general, open-ended questions. So we don't want to ask questions that can be answered with yes or no, because that immediately shuts down the dialogue. So that says that we really need to focus on questions that are the how, what, and where kinds of questions. And somebody said something about tell me more. That's one of the greatest ways to help people to expand what they're thinking about. In general, we want to avoid why questions, because why, in many cases, automatically implies judgment. So if I said, Holden, why did you do that? Even if I don't do it with a sarcastic voice, if I just said, hey, Holden, why'd you do that? It implies there's some kind of, like, there's something wrong with what you did. So in general, we want to avoid why questions. So keep it to what and how, who, when, and those kinds of questions.
Especially with behavior. I mean, there are times when why is a really good question, because it really makes you, why it really makes you think. It's like that little video we saw early. But when you are mentoring someone, especially that's younger than you are, they're already in a position where they see you as a, you know, kind of an authority person, or a person who is who they kind of look up to, they're going to be learning from. And then they get that why question, they can very quickly assume judgment. So you just have to be cautious in how you use that.
So make sure that you keep with the topic. So stay on topic. Don't ramble. Don't take them down bunny trails. You know, help them to stay focused on whatever that area is that you're working on. The whole idea of right time and right place is incredibly important. I think sometimes don't be afraid of a pause or a silence to let people reflect and actually process what their answer is before you move on to the next question. So give them some time and ask the right questions at the right time. And pray for wisdom and discernment about what to ask. Don't just pray for them, but pray for that whole questioning process, for God to bring to mind the right things to ask. It's really important to ask questions one at a time. We refer to the opposite of this as stacking questions. And so you can think of that whole cup stacking exercise. I will say, or you can say,
I am a queen of stacking. Roy, I do that all the time.
So many times I'll just say, Margaret, just one question at a time. You know, I'm happy to answer all eight of them, but I like to do them sequentially instead of all at once. And I do it too, for sure. So we want to ask questions that will lead to action. So we're going to move people along in those questions. And then last of all, the whole idea about reframing, different ways to ask the same questions more than once. So just a second, we're going to practice an exercise at your table, but I do want to share a scripture passage out of Isaiah 32:8. It says, "But the noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands." So great thoughts and plans are wonderful, but it's really the deeds and the actions that are the proof of what we're doing. So Isaiah 32:8, this whole idea of that we want to move people to action. So if you'll take out the backside of the sheet that you worked on before, is an exercise on reframing. And we're going to take a few minutes at your tables. You can work together as a group, so you can all work on the same question at once, or you can take turns working through it. You don't have to do every question on your own, that sort of thing. But what we want to do is reframe each of these questions to make it better. And so, for example, the question might say something like, did that make you angry? Yeah, that sure sounds like Perry Mason leading the witness for those of you that are old enough to remember Perry Mason. But instead, you might ask that something like, how did it make you feel? So you're not implying the emotion anger or anything like that. You just say, how did it make you feel? So if you'll take a few minutes at your tables and work on reframing these questions, and then we'll come back together.
Just work on them as a table, as a group. Work on them together, and just take one question at a time or something. Go around the table, however you want to do it. But talk about how you can make those questions better and not yes-no questions. That's called reframing.
Do you have to change the way you speak to her?
That wasn't a question, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the answer to that question? Is it a yes or no? So think of another way you might. It's a good start, but think of a way you could make it that it wouldn't be a yes then. How do you think she might respond?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Where you can what's the context? And that's
the way they say it.
Wow. That's a lot of How about the Lord Jesus?
So that sounds better than we just changed.
But then you're
saying how can we Yeah, we're just having fun with
them. Your life is heavy, guys.
If you're trying to figure out, because I've heard lots of conversations about some issues and stuff with people that you're working with, you know, scale of 1 to 10 is a great way to get people to think. So on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, in your relationship with God, in your relationship with others, or with your parents, you know, where would you say you fall? You know, that kind of thing. Because that is a, you know, it's their scale. You know, you're not saying 10 is, you know, like perfect. You know, if they want to say it's good, and my 5 might be totally different than your 5. So it kind of puts it on their terms, and they can talk about it. That's the main thing, is to get people to talk about it and to grow from that. The other thing that I mentioned to one table that is really helpful in questions is the how questions. How questions are really good, but if they're a lot of times people can infer that how is a way. You know, how do you do something, or tell me how you might do that. People might think one way. If you say, in what way might you do that? You know, if it's something that might have a lot of alternatives, think about using in what ways instead of how. Just a little twist, but it makes a big difference in how people think about it. The next thing that I want to talk about is, in the last, kind of the last area that we're going to talk about today, is levels of communication. And this is something, let's say, if you go to a new group of people, you're in a new group or you have a new mentor, you don't, you know, maybe you've met them, you know, you kind of, you like them. This is in any group of people. It could be a small group, first time or whatever. But you know, you're with them and you have a limited amount of knowledge with them. And you get together and, you know, you exchange, you know, pleasantries or whatever. And then you say, gosh, I heard this great question this week. I couldn't wait to ask you this question. Tell me your deepest struggle this week. You know, you're probably not going to get a great response, right? So, you know, there are kind of rules that we have to follow, and, you know, kind of levels of communication. And remember those levels of communication. That's what we're going to talk about. So levels of communication, you kind of have to go through in order to help somebody to open up and to really have a great conversation. We almost all start with cliche conversations. You know, how are you doing? What's going on? You know, how's your week been? Those are all just kind of cliches. We all use them. But they just kind of break the ice and kind of get things going. But the level 2, the next one, facts and opinions, are things that you can get into pretty easily with just about anybody. Where do you live? What kind of work do you do? You know, what do you like to do for your free time? You know, do you like to travel? You know, just all kinds of things that are just facts. They're facts, maybe a few opinions, but still pretty, you know.
Surfacey.
Yeah, real surfacey kind of things. Level 3 gets into personal opinions. So, you know, questions, personal opinions, values, judgments. And so as you're working with people, you know, make sure you kind of cover the other levels first before you try to go to some of these things. And as you're working with people, as you're talking to people, try to get to these things. Be intentional. And that's, you know, if you're not intentional in going to these different levels, you'll stay too surfacey. And you really won't uncover the kind of things that you want to do if you're going to be a good mentor, because you want to ask good questions to try to help them to be healthy in all areas of their life. So personal opinions, values, and judgments. So these are things that you could say, you can make a statement and ask them what they think about it. You know, here's one. We have a really good friend whose son is in this screamer band. And, you know, you may love screamer music. I don't know.
Not your style.
Not my style. It's not very appealing to me. And so I could say, you know, this friend of mine just went to the concert and was talking about how wonderful it was and how awesome it was to see your son up there on stage like that. And it was great, you know. So Amy, you know, what did you think about that, the music? What did you think about the kind of things that they said, the message they were sending, you know? And we had a good discussion about opinions and things like that. So that's opinions, values, that's at that level, personal opinions. It could be a discussion about, you know, depending on where you are, maybe political candidates. You know, what do you think about these kind of things? What do you think about... some industry questions, but, you know, values, feelings, and opinions. So that's a level, safe level three conversations that you can ask questions about. Level four gets to feelings and emotions. So it's taking a little four. And you can't, level four is really where you begin to need to think about transparency and vulnerability. And those are really important, so good questions too, because you have to model transparency and vulnerability in your questions in order to get people to really go there. So transparency, and if you guys don't, we kind of used to think that transparency and vulnerability were kind of the same things, but being transparent when you share something about yourself that the person you're talking to doesn't know. So I'm sharing something about me that you don't know. That's being transparent. Vulnerability is when I say, you know, I invite you to share something about me that I don't know about myself. You want to have that in a mentoring relationship. You want to have that in a really good, close friendship. And that's when you can begin to ask questions safely about feelings and emotions. You know, something happened. How did that incident make you feel? You know, what were you, you know, what was, you know, what was going on inside you when that was happening? You know, what kind of things, emotions did you express when this happened? Or, you know, what kind of emotions when that person disrespects you, what kind of emotions do you feel? Those are level four kinds of discussions. And then level five is peak communication. And that's where we really, that's our target. And sometimes it may take weeks to get there. You can't always expect to get there. Probably won't in one conversation, unless you've had a relationship with this person for a while. After you've gotten to know each other really well, then you can get there. But it's going to take, you'll have to have a lot of trust developed before you can get to level five, and that's needs and desires. It's where you honestly admit failures. They will admit failures to you. That's when they really will seek help in ways that will move them forward in lots of grace. You talk about struggles. So you can ask them about where their struggles are. That first question that I mentioned was a level five question. You don't ask that until good relationships are developed. So think about and remember, you know, when it's appropriate to ask these things, and make sure that good questions, you know, have to be environmentally appropriate too. And your surroundings have to be the right thing. And also, I want to go back to that Stolpe's book real fast before we finish. That Stolpe's book on asking questions is probably one of the best really learning to ask questions that we've found. It is really excellent, but it takes time. I mean, I'd love to go through the whole book, but it takes weeks and weeks to go through one. If you really want to be a good question asker, you can practice these things that we've talked about, but you can also get a book like that and go through it with a friend and spend the next year learning to ask good questions. So
we started on our talk tonight just sharing a little bit about our son Chris and the Socratic method of scouting, and it's really fun to see the impact of questions. observations on people's behavior, whether it's something simple like never eating Teflon again, or if it's something that could be really serious and even life-threatening in some cases. It was fun. Over Christmas, we were with him in Dallas, and he got an email from one of the Scoutmasters out in L.A., and this is what the message said. It said, "Hope this message finds you doing well. Last weekend was the University of Scouting for the it's the Greater Los Angeles Council, the GLAC. I had a chance to teach the Socratic Method in Scouting. The class was a huge hit. I had 22 students. I gave out all my handouts and had requests to teach the class to other troops in the council. I later heard from a couple people that ran the event that this class was the best reviewed of all classes taught by a large margin. I want to thank you again for putting the class material together and for letting me teach it." So that's just a really simple example of, you know, start out with the whole idea of a questioning approach and build it into something that'll make a difference in people's lives. Remember that Jesus' methods were to ask questions primarily. Think about that. The book titled 307 Questions He Asked, and how many did he answer?
Three.
And so if we want to be world changers, if we want to impact people, if we want to make a difference in people's lives, then I really encourage you to become great question askers so that you build great relationships. Thanks so much.